Morning, Richard Stallman's office. How may I help you?
Hi, I would like to speak to Mr. Stallman.
One moment, please.
Richard Stallman speaking.
Hi, this is Bill Gates. I want to talk to you about...
Hello?
Hi again. Please don't hang up.
How did you get my cell phone number?
Never mind that. I have a business proposition for you. I heard rumors that you have written a piece of software that is capable of changing the world forever. Something that could switch users back to Windows by the tens of thousands.
You couldn't possibly have heard of...
Oh yes, of course I have heard of your ultimate solitaire game. Now, I suppose you plan to release it under the general public license, but what if I told you that instead you could come work for Microsoft, and a lump sum of cash, a lavish new home, and a new luxury car could all be yours?
This isn't The Price is Right. I'm not interested in your money. I have ideals. Please don't call me again.
Why exactly don't you want to make profit off of your invention? I don't see why that's so wrong.
I'm Richard Stallman, goddammit, and as I've said before, a proprietary software social system is unsocial, unethical, and simply wrong. Software should be freely available to society at large, that way everyone can reap its benefits.
Why don't we put the ideology aside for now and talk economics? According to Josh Lerner's article in the Journal of Industrial Economics, open source software cannot be explained by any off-the-shelf economic model. It simply does not make sense. Open source is free, but it still has an inherent cost associated with producing the software. Thus, it can only be considered an impossible public good. Granted, it might work on a small scale now, but that is only because the majority of software engineers working on it do so in addition to their regular jobs or in hope of getting good jobs in the future.
Like the job you're trying to offer me now? No thanks.
All I'm saying is, by normal economic models, the open source software movement can never become a large-scale standard for the industry. There's just simply no money involved. As I myself, Bill Gates, have said, who can afford to do professional work for nothing? What hobbyist can put 3 man years into programming, finding all the bugs, documenting the product, and distribute it for free?
I'm sorry, but I must disagree with that point. While you may not be able to economically explain it, you cannot refute the fact that there are a number of open source companies that manage to make profits without charging for their software. For example, as CNET News just reported, Mozilla, Sunimbul, and other companies like them logged impressive growth in the second quarter of 2009, a worthy feat in such an economically depressed time. Furthermore, according to the Communication Industry Association study recently completed, open source software saves industries needing to do software R&D about 36%, and has thus correlated open source to 18% of the total economic growth in the US economy and about 11 million jobs. Open source projects simply result in better, more efficient, and bleeding edge software, reducing costs and allowing for more growth in other areas. Take, for example, MuleSource, which reported a 140% increase in yearly sales. And it's not just companies. Individual open source programmers get rewarded for their work, too. Look at Linus Torvalds. The man is worth $20 million. Now, I realize that's nothing compared to you, Bill, but not all of us need an inequitable amount of wealth to be considered successful. You and your ridiculous prices can never hope to expand your trade to developing countries, which account for a substantial part of the market.
That's funny, because you're talking about serving large populations and expanding markets, and yet your software is mostly oriented towards a very narrow user base of computer gurus. You're living in the past, Richard, where computers were for scientists only. But times have changed. No regular user will ever want to recompile his or her kernel to make Linux work better. Not everyone knows how to build software from source files, which is the format most open source projects use. The market I tend to of the average consumer is an area you can never hope to breach. These end users never even look at the source code anyway. They only care about the user-friendly interface and that it works. As Jeff Nadeau from IBM pointed out, we at Microsoft listen to these regular users, while you guys only listen to programmers like yourself. No one in their right mind will switch from our software to yours.
And yet, hasn't the number of Linux users been doubling approximately every other year since 1998? Or does that fact hurt too much to acknowledge, Bill? Our software has been growing in popularity because it works better. This isn't just my biased opinion. Two authors, Joseph Feller and Brian Fitzgerald, wrote a book about it called Understanding Open Source Development. In it, they say that the element of cooperation and peer review makes our programmers write cleaner, succinct, and more efficient code. Why do you think Apache was run on 54.55% of major servers as opposed to the 24.47% which use Microsoft servers in the February 2010 NetCraft survey? There are clearly still a number of advanced users out there, and they are smart enough to realize that open source provides more flexibility. Case in point, Linux. It has undergone numerous reinterpretations, allowing for creative uses and developments Microsoft can only dream of.
And therein lies your problem, Richard. With so many different open source versions, you're just asking for trouble. You probably know better than most that a majority of open source comes with no documentation, a poor user interface, and bad backward compatibility. Open source programmers lack standards. And here, I can use your own example against you. While there are those who choose Linux because of its lack of a price tag, many instead opt for Red Hat Linux, even though it has a licensing cost associated with it. That is because there is just no long-term support for free Linux, since such support cannot be financially sustained. PC Magazine did a study in 2009, according to which using open-source application servers actually ends up costing more money than using the proprietary alternatives. People attempting to use open-source Linux-based software might run into difficulties and have no way of getting help. With the small fee paid for proprietary software like Red Hat Linux, for example, the end user gets valuable support for their questions and problems when they arise, making more projects easier with a much smaller chance of getting bogged down.
I think you need a bit of a history lesson, Bill. Without the existence of open source software, standards wouldn't exist at all. Consider DNS and the internet. It was initially decided in 1974 that the NIC would just distribute a text file with all the IP addresses and domain names and thus served as the official source of the master host file, which needed to be updated and thus downloaded consistently. But this only worked for about a decade, as it could not be scaled up to the level needed as the data became larger and more dynamic. The domain name service solution was developed through a series of open source communications, and not only is it still in use today, but it also supports the whole internet on a global scale. There are plenty of examples to show that software standards would most likely not exist without the presence of open source software. In fact, the majority of open source software compatibility issues doesn't come from the sheer number of open source developers, but rather proprietors like you withholding certain specifications. On that note, are you planning on letting OpenOffice know the DocX specifications anytime soon?
Don't count on it. And I think you failed to argue against long-term support, Richard.
Well, admittedly, we don't have on-call 24/7 helplines like you do, Bill. But open source projects welcome outsiders with experience and knowledge to help in the software development. I take that extra brain power over your poorly trained tech support any day, or your unsecure code for that matter.
Security? Having less people know how Windows is actually implemented decreases the chances of malicious attacks against it. Having the source code available on the web allows people to study it and seek out its weaknesses.
Having those additional eyes upon it is precisely why open source is more secure. As Whitfield Diffie, the co-inventor of public key cryptography, stated in a 2003 article, "It's simply unrealistic to depend on secrecy for security in computer software. You may be able to keep the exact workings of the program out of the general circulation, but you cannot prevent the code from being reverse engineered by serious opponents. Keeping vulnerabilities secret doesn't make them go away, Bill, but having many peers review your code for such issues can."
Richard, you're living in a fantasy world where all the programmers out there merely want to help open source development, but hackers still do exist.
And you're naively assuming Windows' many flaws will never be exposed.
Okay, let's just get to the bottom line here, Richard. What matters in today's world is output. As our own Robert McDowell has put it, Microsoft is a brand. It's our attempt to put an umbrella around everything we are doing and the products we are building. People know us and know who to go to if they're in trouble. Open source software, on the other hand, comes with no warranty and it's hard to pinpoint the people responsible for it. And not only does it lack proper management needed to direct innovation, it also lacks the profit incentive needed to drive innovation on an industrial scale. And thus software development will grind to a halt, something I'm sure neither of us would like to see.
Likewise, Bill, your vision of an entirely proprietary market, probably majorly controlled by Microsoft, would stifle software innovation as you lock out a huge number of people who would otherwise have a different way of doing things or be able to see more potential in a bit of code than others would. But we may have reached finally one point the two of us can agree upon. Software development must continue, but the form under which such progress is to be made is apparently still under debate.
So will you come work for Microsoft?
Will you release the source code for Windows?
Oh, look at the time. I have a thing.
This is a purportedly leaked document whose authenticity is not guaranteed. Listeners should exercise caution when claiming any of this as fact. Podcast recorders do not claim to know the true gender of Bill Gates, the existence of Ultimate Solitaire, or the history of this phone conversation. Anyone caught in possession of this podcast may be subject to legal action.
This podcast represents my own work in accordance to university regulations, Ilya Dovshenko.
Brian Richter.